Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Guess what?
Well, I think we are absolutely finishing up Jeremiah.
100% sure.
Which means that this episode is our contradictions episode?
You're always wrong actually called.
Right.
Because you're always wrong.
Also always right. But okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's our contradictions episode where I'm always fucking wrong. And
because the Bible can never let you be right.
Right.
It's not my fault.
No, okay. Do you have some good contradictions for us today?
Yes, I do.
And are you ready to go contradict?
Sure as fuck am.
All right, let's go do this.
Okie dokie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okie dokie, here we go. Contradictions, you're always wrong.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, question one. Hey, husband.
Yeah.
How long does God's anger last, and do you want multiple choice?
Give me multiple choice.
Okay. Sure. God's anger lasts, hold on, just a sec, or super long time, or
Well, I'm going to go with super long time because He tends to multi-generational anger.
He's a little pissy.
It's a thing. He does it all the fucking time.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's a super long time. As we read in Numbers, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That's super long
time. That's a lot of anger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, but also, you're always wrong.
Of course.
Because... Nah, his anger doesn't last that long.
No?
For his anger endureth but a moment, according to Psalms.
Okay.
But also, that shit lasts forever, because ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn literally forever. And that was in the book of Jeremiah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at it from the point of view of, they call it in the original sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's forever.
Yeah.
He's forever angry at humanity for that, I guess. So
he's big mad all the time.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck him.
Yep. It's true. So number two, hey, husband.
Yeah.
Is God merciful?
I'm going to go with the general overall consensus on the Old Testament and say no. He's an asshole.
Yeah, I got plenty of examples of that.
Yeah.
Let's see. In Numbers, we read, and the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, hang those people up.
Yeah, right. That's
pretty.
That's some anger right there.
That's not mercy.
No.
Okay. And then in 1 Samuel, we read, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Right, so, yeah, totally not merciful.
Right.
And
right.
Then later in 1 Samuel, we read, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord, even he smote of the people 50,310 men.
Jesus.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's...
Just because they looked
right,
in the ark.
What an asshole.
Wait.
He's a dick.
He's a dick.
A fucking dick.
Yeah, yeah. And then, okay, last example of how he's not merciful.
Yeah.
In Jeremiah, we read, I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy.
Just to be clear, though, there are a lot more examples of him not being merciful.
Oh, yeah, no, those are just the good ends that I grabbed up.
Sure,
you know, and I wanted to make sure to have one from Jeremiah because that's the point of this.
Right, and I just didn't want it left unsaid that,
right. You know. But there is a time... Especially in Jeremiah, when he was merciful.
Wait, so he wasn't merciful and he is merciful in the same
book? Yeah, because you know why?
Book. Why?
You're always wrong. So in the same book, yeah, in Jeremiah, he was merciful. He said, I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever.
Couldn't it possibly be that the Bible is always wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
But I can't talk to the Bible, whereas I am asking these questions of you.
All right. I just wanted to toss that out there.
This is all a game. Don't argue with me.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, number three. Ready?
Yeah.
Husband, does God ever get furious?
Yes.
Yeah. I have two examples from the book of Jeremiah. The first one is, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. He is big mad again.
Yeah, he is.
And then later on he says, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury. So yeah, he totally gets furious.
Right.
But guess what?
He doesn't sometimes?
Right, because you're always wrong.
Okay.
In Isaiah... It says, fury's not in me, bro.
Oh.
Yeah.
I take issue with that.
Fury's not in me.
Okay.
He said
right.
So.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah. Even as he said, I'm furious and my anger will last forever. I don't have anger. What? Yeah. He's totally, what's that? Bipolar.
He's gaslighting people.
And he's bipolar. He's a narcissist.
Right.
He's all kinds of fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
Number four, husband.
Yeah.
Did God command the Israelites to make him burnt offerings and animal sacrifices?
Yes.
Yeah, he did, right?
I mean, like, that's like the whole... We had a whole book where it was all nothing but learning how to do goddamn sacrifices and burnt offerings
and shit. And what sides of the tent to do it on.
Yeah,
and
where which to splatter the blood.
Yeah.
Blood?
Yeah, so that was Exodus. And so I have two examples. One reads, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us."
Okay.
So literally, he commanded them.
Yeah.
Right. And then later on in Exodus, it reads, "An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. Mm. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee there."
Got it.
So, I mean, those are big yeses, but guess what?
I'm probably wrong.
You're always wrong.
I'm always wrong. Yeah.
Because remember, we even said this in Jeremiah, like, excuse you?
Right.
In Jeremiah chapter 7, it reads, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I speak not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices."
That was really said? I don't even remember that at this point.
I remember it was said, and I remember, wow. Man, you go, what, bro?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong, Bible.
Yeah.
Go home, you're drunk, Bible. All right, number 5. Husband,
yeah.
How should strangers be treated? Do you want multiple choice?
No, but strangers should be treated with kindness and you know, equity, and like they should be treated well.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
You know, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So they should be treated with love according to Leviticus. "The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself." And they should be treated with justice, as you said in Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger." They should be treated with equity, as you said in Jeremiah. It says, "Oppress not the stranger."
Right.
And then they should be treated peacefully, because in Jeremiah also it says, "Do no violence to the stranger." But guess what?
I'm wrong, I guess.
You're always wrong, because in several places in the book of Numbers, it says, "The stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death."
Jesus.
Yeah. So, you know, whichever way you go is fine.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, number 6. Husband.
Yeah.
Do evildoers prosper?
I mean, yes.
Yes, they do. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hands God bringeth abundantly. That's from the book of Job, and we complained about that with him.
Yeah.
And then in Jeremiah, it says, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" Remember, that's when Jeremiah was getting pissy with God and was like, "This sucks." And we were like, "You sound like Job, bro."
Yeah.
But guess what?
I'm wrong.
We're always wrong.
Yeah.
In this one, we're always wrong.
Sure.
Because do evildoers prosper? No.
No.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And that's from Psalms.
I see.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, number 7. Husband, do humans have free will?
Ooh, this is one of those questions that's debatable, actually, mm-hmm. even scientifically.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with yes.
That sounds like a fine answer.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. In Deuteronomy, it reads, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life."
Sure.
You know, yeah, or kill yourself, whichever.
Right.
I mean, don't.
Don't.
Don't, yeah, guys.
Right.
Don't. I was just putting that out there as like a free will thing. Yeah. But everybody be happy and live and do good things.
Right.
Yes. Okay. But guess what?
I'm always wrong.
You are always fucking wrong, but so am I, obviously.
Yeah.
In Jeremiah, it reads, "Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps."
Hmm.
So it's all God. God's doing the whole thing. He's pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's that.
If that's the case, that makes him even worse than.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if he's the one making all the things happen, and we've discussed this at points throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
But like that makes him even worse.
No, totally agree. Because it's like, wait, so you're literally watching us, and you're like making our strings go up and down, and you're like, "Wee, kill, rape, pillage, yay!" Like that's gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So number 8. Husband, we've asked this one before. How many gods are there?
Zero.
But right. But that's not one of your choices, unfortunately. No, I know. For the purposes of this game.
For the purposes of the Bible, I'm going to go with multiple. Sure. And they are even mentioned in Jeremiah, because I remember them mentioning Bel and different things like that, which isn't necessarily a god, but it's a reference to a god.
So. Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
So, there are several gods, and starting in Genesis, it said, and God said, let us make man in our image. So he's like referring to himself, and not just the third person, but the plural third person.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in Deuteronomy, it says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords.
Right.
Meaning there's others, but I am the biggest.
Yeah.
And then in Joshua, it says, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Yeah, they did.
Right.
Okay. And then in Psalms, it says, among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Mm. So there's a bunch. There's a bunch.
But none like you.
Right.
Right.
And then in Second Chronicles, it says, great is our God above all gods. And then in Jeremiah, here we go.
Okay.
It says, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth. Mm. And from under these heavens.
Okay.
So he gonna get them.
Right.
Like, he's been saying that for ages, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then again in Jeremiah, it says, I'm about to bring punishment on Amon, god of Thebes, on Pharaoh, on Egypt, and her gods, and her kings, and on those who rely on Pharaoh. I'm gonna get ya.
I think that, well, I think even with regard to the God of the Bible, right? Yahweh, and the other gods of other cultures. Like, we even read this in Jeremiah, or learned about it in Jeremiah anyway, is that a lot of cultures were referenced by the name of their God, right?
Yeah.
And I think that even applies to Yahweh. Like, you know, this is just how these people identified themselves as this God was their God, right? So there's all these gods, and they want this one to be the best real bad, but, you know, it's really not a god, but it's more just their identification as a culture and a people.
You know, similarly, high schoolers identify themselves by their school mascot. Like, I was a centurion.
Sure. Yeah.
What were you?
I was a Spartan.
See?
Yeah.
And that's what we were, right? Were we those things, though?
Mm-mm.
No. But that's how we identify culturally.
Sure.
As teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, you're always wrong. Mm. Of course, there's only one God. According to Deuteronomy, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. You know, there's only the one.
Right.
Okay. You got it?
I'm sure. Yeah.
You got that math?
I've got it. Yeah.
All right.
I can count to one.
Can you?
I can.
Okay. So number nine. Husband,
yes.
Does God repent?
I do recall that happening at some point, so I'm going to go with yes.
Mm-hmm. So he does. In Genesis, he says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So he fucking hated that he made us. And then in 1 Samuel, it says, it repenteth me, God, that I have set Saul up to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. You know, committing complete genocide on the Amalekites was what he's pissed about.
Right.
And the Lord repented that he had ever made Saul king over Israel. Mm. So he really was, he's mad he made us. He's mad he put Saul on the throne.
Right.
Okay. And then in Jeremiah, it says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn away from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And he was like, I will change my mind if they do good now.
Right.
And they
but the funny thing is, the way that they phrase that is that he's going to repent of the evil that he's going to do upon them.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do evil to them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just parse that out for a second. God is going to do evil.
Right.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in Jeremiah, it says, I am weary of repenting. So, I mean, not only does he repent, but he, like, repents so many times.
Right.
He's so tired of forgiving everybody. Ugh. And I'm like, that's your job as a God, bro. But guess what?
I'm wrong.
You're always wrong.
Yeah.
It had been a while since I sang it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So, no, of course God doesn't repent, because he could never change his mind or have regrets, or everything he does is perfect.
He's infallible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent.
Mm.
I mean, duh.
Okay.
You got it?
I'm sure.
Okay. So, number 10, husband, are we punished for the sins of others?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
According to Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, this thing I'm about to read is mentioned like in multiple places in the Torah.
Yeah.
I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck those kids that haven't even been born yet. I'm going to punish them too. And then in 2 Samuel, it says, there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, sorry, it's for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites, remember?
Mm.
Yeah, so fuck this entire population, sorry.
Yeah.
Not sorry.
Right, right.
And then in Jeremiah, it says, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Thou shalt then say to them, says the Lord, because your fathers have forsaken me and have walked after other gods and have served them and have worshipped them and have forsaken me and have not kept my law. Your daddies, they did bad. So fuck all of you today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then further in Jeremiah, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nealamite and his seed, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. Hmm. So fuck whatever kids he has.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah. He does punish others for, or he does punish us for the sins of others. But guess what?
We're wrong.
We are always wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah. Nope. According to Deuteronomy, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
And then again in Jeremiah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, contrasting its own self.
Right.
It says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. But no, every one shall die for his own iniquity.
Mm.
So, yeah, okay. I'm not going to kill your kids for you fucking up.
It seems to me like they just have they're like, what's a good reason why things are going bad? This will work.
Yeah.
And it's either you specifically,
mm-hmm,
or your ancestors, if they can't come up with anything bad that you did.
Yeah.
There's always a reason, though.
Because that was science to them back then. So, number 11, how long was the Babylonian captivity?
70 years.
You would think. Okay. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And that's from Jeremiah.
Right.
Now, I did take an answer from the book of Baruch, which is not in the Bible that we're reading, but
sure,
we know the dude.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel too bad about stealing this one.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's friends with Jeremiah, right?
Yeah.
And he said 7 generations. When you are come into Babylon, you shall be there many years and for a long time, even to 7 generations.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So either 70 years or 7 generations, which, you know, could be about the
same. Yeah, sure. Right,
whatever.
Kind of.
Yeah.
That'd,
not really.
That'd be really short generations. But
yeah. 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 But guess what?
I'm wrong.
We're both wrong and they're both wrong.
Okay.
It's right. Neither, because
okay,
we have history books, actually. And the Babylonian captivity ended in 539 BCE when King Cyrus of Persia defeated Babylon. So that's when it ended, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it began is somewhat less clear. And we have 3 different choices.
Yeah.
And none of them add up right.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, if you take 39... And I think it was like 76 or 77 when the official conquering was. So, that's like 36, 37 years.
Yes, you are right on the money, sir. Let me read these dates to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Was it 605 BCE after the Battle of Carchemish when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem? That could have been when it started.
Okay.
Right? Was it 598 or 97 when Joachim was killed and his successor Jeconiah and many others were taken to Babylon?
I don't know.
Okay. Was it in 587 or 76 when the temple and Jerusalem were destroyed and many of its people were exiled? Could be. So depending on which of these dates you choose as the start of the Babylonian captivity,
yeah,
its duration would be 66, 59, or 48 years, respectively.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
none of the above.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So neither 70 years nor seven generations.
Right.
So, yeah. Fuck off.
And you can't even stretch it out. Like, there's, like, even if you take it at the furthest point.
The closest one is 66.
Right.
Is which close to 70 years.
You could say that might, but
they might have rounded up to the nearest five.
Sure.
I would allow it if that's what they were trying to say.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If they spelled that out.
But that was never spelled out.
So. No, it wasn't.
No.
Not also if you're trying to say that Jeremiah did a 40-year stint.
Right.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't buy it.
Nope.
Okay. So number 12, husband, how should the Ammonites be treated?
I don't even recall. I would assume that we wanted to destroy them.
We do. We want to kill them and take their land.
Okay.
I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughter shall be burned with fire. And that's from Jeremiah chapter 49. Oh,
sure.
So that would be right in his address to the nations.
Right.
Yeah. Oracle of the Nations.
Yeah, that was the bit that was written like during exile or post exile.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But back in Deuteronomy, to prove that we're always wrong, you're supposed to avoid them because it says, and when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So early on, he's like, no, this is Lot's.
This is theirs. Right. Yeah.
And then later on, he's like, kill those motherfuckers, take that land, get them.
That's
fuck
crazy.
Them. Fuck Lot's descendants.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that God changed his mind.
It's almost like that,
apparently.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, it happens again because number 13, how should the Moabites be treated?
Well, they were friendly to them, sort of-ish, back in, like, Exodus or somewhere back there anyway.
Deuteronomy,
okay.
Yeah, and the Lord said unto me, Moses, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession,
right.
Because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession.
Okay.
So again, these are Lots.
Yeah. Right.
Don't fuck with them.
Right.
And then Moses was like, cool, but can I marry one?
Right.
JK. So yeah, that was in Deuteronomy, but then later in Jeremiah, an oracle against the nations.
Yeah.
He's like, kill them and take their land again.
Right.
He says, there shall be no more praise of Moab. Come and let us cut it off from being a nation.
Hmm.
Get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So it just depends on
which portion of the Bible you're reading.
And also, what is politically strategic for the people who are actually writing the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like,
because they were all written during different time periods.
Yes.
And different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with God.
Because it's if that was Lot's people,
yeah,
they're still Lot's people, just like the Israelites are still Moses's people.
Right.
You know, you don't get to just, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
So
right.
What you have decided is fuck Lot's descendants.
Sure.
Which I would be fine. I wish you would just say, we decided we don't like Lot's descendants
now,
anymore.
To be extra fair, just to throw this out there, God was in Jeremiah, was in the process of destroying the Israelites as well. So to say that he's going to destroy the, you know, Moabites and the Ammonites, you know, maybe isn't too far of a stretch at that point, but
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. So,
all right. Yeah. I will allow it then.
Right.
Okay. That is very fair.
Right.
All right. Last question.
Okay.
Number 14. Husband, this is such a good one for the book that we just read.
Yeah.
Did Zedekiah's eyes behold the king of Babylon?
Yes.
Depends.
Depends, huh?
Depends.
Well, I mean, isn't he the one that took his eyes?
Yeah, he had his sons killed in front of him, and then his eyes were put out.
Which would mean to me, I would think, that he, you know, saw the king taking his fucking eyes at the very least.
Well, okay. So, yes, thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and that was in Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And, okay. But guess what?
I'm wrong.
There's like 1,000 contradictions and things that I did not include in this.
Okay.
Between Jeremiah and the first and second, or the second book of Kings.
Oh,
second okay. Kings. A lot of the details, this is the only one that I actually grabbed for our questionnaire here that we're doing.
Sure.
But a lot of the differences are in... like how many of these and how many of those and, you know, how many miles and
sure.
Which guy was where.
Right. And the stories don't mesh up.
Yeah, they don't match up. Like how many guys were in the army. And I'm like, whatever.
Right.
You know,
fuck cares.
They didn't have fucking calculators. We've
always kind of shied away from the counting errors because
I do. Just like because me and you could count the same things 5 times and come up with different answers. And we have the Googles.
Right.
Yeah. And calculators.
Yeah.
So I don't hold those kind of errors against people who lived over 2,000 years ago.
Sure.
So there are a lot of differences. Like the stories are the same from 2 Kings to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
They are exactly the same, but some of the like nitty gritty details don't match and I just don't give a shit. But this one I thought was pretty good.
Okay.
Because in Jeremiah, yeah, he totally... got to see the king and
right.
Then, you know, his kids were killed in front of him and then his eyes were put out.
Yeah.
But in 2 Kings,
okay.
They put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him in fetters of brass, and then carried him to Babylon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's still the same thing that happened, actually, because they met up with them at that place that was just outside of Egypt.
But the king wasn't there. Nebuchadnezzar was not there.
In Kings, you're saying?
Or in either Jeremiah? Story.
Oh, okay.
No, the king was not there in either story.
Well, where does it say that he did see the king?
In Jeremiah, it says, "Your eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon."
Okay, so... That's what I was saying. In Jeremiah, they had him at that place that was just outside of it.
Who's him? They had who?
Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians.
Okay.
Had him just outside of that place that was just outside of Egypt where he almost got away. And that's where he killed his kids and took his eyes out.
Except that even in the book of Jeremiah, that was his soldiers that went after him. Like, Nebuchadnezzar was not there.
Okay. Okay. I didn't gather. I mean, like they said that I don't understand because like they said that he saw him in the same book. So like, are you saying that it contradicts itself in Jeremiah?
I'm not really sure because what they're saying, the difference is, did they put out his eyes before or after they took Zedekiah to Babylon? That's sure. The question.
Okay.
Because the king was still back in Babylon. He was not. They're part of the fight. His soldier guys were, and Zedabar, whatever that guy's name. you know who I'm talking about.
Nebuzaradan or something.
Yeah,
like that
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was there.
Okay.
Okay. So the question is, did they put out his eyes like right there when they caught him, or did he get back to Babylon?
Got it.
Okay. And then they put his eyes out.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying that, okay, I got
it. In Jeremiah,
they captured and brought him to Babylon, and then those things with where they killed his sons and all that happened.
Happened in Babylon, okay. Right. But in 2 Kings, that happened right when they caught him.
Got it. Okay.
Now, I tend to think that probably Jeremiah had the right of it on this one, I think that they probably captured him, brought him back to Babylon, and then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, made the choice and was like, dude, here's your sons. Watch, we're going to kill him. Go ahead, kill his sons. And now we're going to put your fucking eyes out, and now you can live here.
Right.
And that's what I think. So I think Jeremiah had the right of it.
Got it.
Second Kings, though, was like, no, they put his eyes out, whatever.
Sure.
And it's like, does it matter? No.
Right.
But because we just literally finished reading that, I just thought, okay, that's a good one to end on.
Sure. Sure.
Got it? All right.
Yeah, I got it. So that was our contradictions episode for Jeremiah.
It sure as fuck was.
And we are now done 100% with Jeremiah.
I mean, but are we, though?
I don't know.
Because we're about to read Lamentations.
Which apparently is written by him, maybe, mm-hmm. sort of, kind of.
And then there's some other shit that he's supposed to have written.
Yeah.
And.
But we're done with the fucking book.
We're done with the book of Jeremiah.
We are done with that fucking book.
We are.
And we're moving along.
Yes. Congratulations to everybody who has followed us on this journey. You have just completed totally another book, and we are moving on through the Bible to the next book.
All right.
Woohoo!
Yep. All right. Well, that's all we got for tonight.
That is all we've got for tonight.
Or this morning, whenever you're listening to us. Mm-hmm. Mid-afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know.
Yesterday? Whenever.
Yeah, sure.
Tomorrow?
Anyway, bye, guys.
2022.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.